watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, with me is Sharad Kutan. Now, over the last few days, expressions of dissent, either in the form of online satire or even in banners, have drawn the ire of both the authorities and some social groups. Now, there have been police reports made against the satirical site Bermana, which mimics the national news agency Bernama, through humorous stories mocking the perceived foibles of politicians. We've also have police in Ipoh investigating a banner which blames politicians for self-serving behaviour during the pandemic. Now, the question is, do Malaysians have the right to express themselves in this way? Joining us on the show tonight to discuss this further, we have Gayathri Venkateswaran with the School of Media, Languages and Culture at University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Gaya, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Now,
hi.
Now, it seems that we return to this question periodically. You know, what are the limits of free expression in Malaysia? Gaya, how would you assess these two instances? A satirical site, which often mocks elected officials, and an angry banner targeting elected officials.
I think to put it very maybe crudely and simply is that the powers that be are so allergic to the truth, but then they attack the satirists, you know. I think in many ways, given the situation where people are unable to actually gather and protest, which is a fundamental right as well in any you know, political system, I think that you know the big question here is really how do we hold those in power accountable when direct communication is actually really limited, given the fact that, again, the COVID prevents that kind of direct engagement. But also I think that a lot of the politicians and those in power seem to be really tone deaf in terms of what the ground sentiment really is. I think, you know, today the press conference talks so much about double standards, but clearly the problem is a visible and clear double standards in implementation of SOPs. Every day we get messages on the MKN, from the MKN saying, you know, reminding us of the SOPs. But it's those in power who seem to, you know, ignore this. So I think how else can one actually get the message across to politicians? And I think, you know, sites like Bermana, I think the use of that banner are in fact really very basic ways of reaching out and actually expressing on behalf of a wider population some of these frustrations that we are going through.
Gayathri, though there are, I mean, accountability maybe is a two-way street, even in these, you know, these days under the pandemic and also the political situation in Malaysia. There are, you know, instances where somebody, do you think, a politician might feel aggrieved that a statement they made or action they, you know, did or a photograph of them was taken out of context, and that does saying that you're satirical then make you immune from criticism? And, you know, can the politician seek some sort of redress? It would be fair for them to seek some sort of redress against satirical sites.
Well, this is a public crisis and an international crisis in that sense. If you're a politician and you cannot take the heat, then get out of the room, get out of the kitchen, right? I think that there are valid and legitimate demands, I suppose, of those power holders. Now, I think when we talk about, for example, distortions or possible manipulations, now, taking out of context is really not an offense. It's not an offense. It might be, it might not fairly represent, but it's not an offense. It's certainly not a criminal offense. But I think, you know, we have, you know, there's a clear line between what is punishable, I suppose, under the criminal laws, and where one has to engage those who are criticizing them. I mean, they can choose not to engage with the satire website or the satire artist, but you don't use the laws of the land to stem or to cut people from expressing. So I think that the lines that politicians or where they can seek this immunity, the threshold is extremely high. And I think they really need to realize that they are in public office. They are in public office on behalf of a constituency, right, and on behalf of their constituents. And I think that if they cannot take that, the, you know, accountability levels, you know, people see within their own spaces how you know, these rules are implemented so differently, I think they have run out of excuses.
Well, what about that the criticism levied against satirical sites like Bermana that they cause the spread of misinformation?
Well, I think studies upon studies, whether it's in Malaysia or elsewhere, will show that, you know, the spread of inaccurate information, if you want to go as far as talking about disinformation, does not come from those who are in a disadvantaged position. It is often tied to those who actually have more access to these resources. So, you know, having one site actually either mock maybe some of the policies, mock some of the politicians, is not going to do the kind of damage that those in power actually are already doing. So I think it's a very, very imbalanced or unequal relationship to pick on one particular site like this. And I think that while there have been in other places a very coordinated attack of fake news, for example, I don't think we see that in this context. I think these are really very critical kinds of commentary, social commentary.
But there's also the question of the way the site operates, right? So if you take an example, there are many satirical sites that mimic real media organizations. The logos, they're so close that they set themselves or they set the public up for misreading and for a misrecognition. And do you think that is a problem?
No. I mean, I think they all make disclaimers. I think the problem also lies with the lack of attention that individuals give in to the kinds of information that they get. I do understand that sometimes they are, it can cause confusion with people who are accessing either it's Twitter or Facebook and see all these sites. But, you know, it's actually also individual responsibilities to read through some of these things, to understand the source, to check. I mean, I would ask people to check on Astro Awani also before they consume the
information. Yes, there is a satirical site mimicking Astro Awani.
Yes, I do. Yes. Correct. And I know it can be a burden to news sites to try and counter some of this information. I understand that, but it's also very important because this is part of media literacy, right? We can't just say, look, because it's confusing, therefore it's wrong and it's criminally wrong. I think that is the problem, right? That we want to immediately take action against all of this because, well, it's uncomfortable for the others, so it's an inconvenience to some others. So I think that approach is really wrong, you know? So, and it comes down to that. Media literacy, how much are we actually scrutinizing the sources of information we are exposed to?
Well, do you think then those satirical sites should be afforded the same kinds of protections that news agencies or journalistic organizations enjoy?
So they do have, in fact, in all, I think in all legal regimes, satire, these actually are protected as forms of art and artistic expression. They perform very different functions from journalists, so they probably don't require the same kinds of protection that journalists would need. But they do deserve protection because of the leeway that is given under many free speech rules and conventions, that these are artistic freedoms, these are artistic expressions that need to be protected. And satire is actually one of it. I mean, I think that if you look at the legal wording in many of our criminal and civil laws, satire is something that is, it has somewhat of a protection as well.
In the last minute that we have, the banners, we haven't talked about the banners that were put up, anonymous, some apparently, according to the Star, having expletives in it. What do you make of that? The police are going after the people who put up the banners. Do you think they should enjoy some immunity from prosecution?
Sure. So because this is actually in lieu of the ability to protest, right, to physically protest and express political dissent. And if we can tolerate artists drawing murals of leaders that they revere in streets and buildings, why can't we tolerate a banner that says, hey, I'm actually disillusioned with the politicians. So we are choosing what we want in the public space and what we don't want, but by whose standards, right? So I would say, yes, they deserve the protection. They should not be prosecuted.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Gaia, for speaking with us tonight. We really appreciate your time. Now, we're going to take a quick break, but after this, we'll speak to editorial cartoonist Zuna. Stay tuned.